The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, last week, People Before Profit, TD Richard Boy Barrett Place, 1984 by George Orwell, up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. This week, it is the turn of broadcaster and presenter of Ireland AM, Elaine Crowley. Still dancing every day?
I am not. No way. The knees aren't what they used to be.
Oh, really? Is it tough on the body?
Yeah. No, in fairness, it is tough on the body, but my back has never been better. My back was absolutely banjaxed for ages because you're using muscles you haven't really used, and clearly movement is medicine.
So all it's the improved, core work and everything.
It's improved my fitness no end.
All right.
Yeah.
But you're not doing it anymore.
Like 6 hours of dancing a day is a bit too much
That's
for anyone
lunacy,
to be doing.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
anyway.
And you know what? At the end, it wasn't really my forte. You know, wasn't really my forte.
I will not judge.
Better off doing the Siege of Venice.
I've seen enough videos of me dancing at weddings to know exactly how I do in that competition. So listen, it's hard always to kind of pick a single book to place up on the bookshelf. But that's the task we set people. So what book or collection of books are you putting up there?
You see, it's been really difficult. I nearly had sleepless nights over picking a book or a series of books because I'm a massive fan of fantasy fiction. And I'm not talking about Fifty Shades of Grey stuff here now.
Erotic fantasy before people start getting
a bit
hot and bothered.
Kind of stuff.
They're turning up their radio. Oh my God.
Dragons and fairies and that sort of stuff. So Game of Thrones, The Wheel of Time, Harry Potter. When I was really young, I started with the Chronicles of Narnia. Before that, I would have started with the Folks of the Faraway Tree by Enid Blyton. So they're the kind of books I liked. I was very into escapism from quite a young age, going off, floating off into a different world, which I sometimes do still. So yeah, that's my
I've seen this list, and there is certainly a theme to the books you want to put up there, and the mentions you want to give to other books, and we'll get through some of them in a minute. So tell us about this series, The Knights of the Borrowed Dark by Dave Rudden.
Dave Rudden is an Irish author, and he's an absolute angel, and his mind is fantastic. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him a few times, and I think if you're interested in that whole genre, and it's based at young adults, really. It's not like so-called
it's a kid's book you're reading.
It's a kid's book I'm reading. It's a series of kids' books, but not too young because it can be a bit dark as well. But it's, I think, because I do love the fantasy genre, I think it's really hard to do to actually create a whole new world. And the fact that it's an Irish author is absolutely brilliant. So I started reading the first one, and then obviously the second and third came out. And it's a trilogy. It's about, basically, it kind of takes the mick out of the whole boy orphaned waiting for a magical event to happen. And we've seen it in Harry Potter as well, but he alludes to it as well in the thing because he's reading all these mad books and hoping for escape from this
BFG
orphanage.
It's kind of a trope in lots of stories,
but,
isn't it?
It does work because they do take the mick out of it a little bit. So his name is Denison Hardwick, and then he's visited by this mysterious aunt. And then this mysterious aunt, through her, he finds out that he's got these magical powers, and she's part of these Knights of the Borrowed Dark who battle mysterious forces who go through a rip in the seam of everyone, that sort of thing.
Okay.
It's actually really clever. Very dark as well. Parts of it are quite dark and scary. But you know, when you read a book and you can completely imagine it in a movie or a TV series, it's just the descriptions are so evocative that it just immediately you can see it when you close your eyes. So that's the kind of the book it is.
And is it, because it's written by an Irish author, I mean, is there an Irish tinge to it? It's like Artemis Fowl type, or are there leprechauns and fairies?
Not this weird, like clockwork, weird creatures. And
I thought you were going to say Clockwork Orange. I was like, well, this is dark. This is a very dark young adult's
book. It's not quite
book.
That bad now. But it's like an Irish orphanage. It's set in Ireland. And
okay.
So you'll feel that about it. And there's a mysticism dipped into it as well. But the whole, I think why I like it so much is I think it's quite challenging to create something like that. And his mind created a beautiful world. I want him to write another one in the series, and he's not having any of it. But, you know.
Really?
You know what?
Sticking with a trilogy.
I think that's really good when you're dying to read the next one. You finish the book and you want to know what's next.
Yes.
And if it's not coming, it's really annoying.
And is that how you, like, do you suspect now if people, because lots of people will take up the recommendations on this slot and they'll listen to it and they'll say, okay, I'm going to give this a go, that they'll go from one to two to three if they like it.
Yeah, you should do. If you're a fan of that sort of, like I just remember from, like, when I started The Chronicles of Narnia, once I start a series, I can't put books down. I'm the same if I'm watching a TV series as well. I kind of tend to binge it, but like Lord of the Rings, I remember when I watched that, when I was reading that, I finished book two at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had book three, but I bought two of the book two. the Two Towers. And I was like, I had to.
So you thought you had book three, but you actually had
a breakout book three.
Oh, no.
And I was like, this is not the Return of the King. It just had a different. So I was disgusted. Uh-huh. So I do like that sort of escapism, I guess.
When did you read Lord of the Rings? Before or after you saw the movies?
See, I'm a bit weird when it comes to movies of things. Like, I have never watched Game of Thrones because I'm fighting with it. Because I read all the books and I was waiting for George or Martin to finish writing the book.
So do you know how it ends?
I know how, obviously I know because there was a huge outcry because of it. I actually interviewed Conleth Hill the other day as well, and I know he was not too happy about the end of the Game of Thrones as well. So I was that smug person when everyone was going, oh no, what has happened? Oh dear, the Red Wedding is terrible. I knew it all because I'd read the books. I was that pain in the you know what. And then there was no book forthcoming to finish the series. And then I just went, well, this is a terrible ending. I'm not going to bother watching any of it now. So I'm,
So you haven't watched it. So is that your long way of telling me you haven't watched Lord of the Rings?
No, I have watched Lord of the Rings.
Oh, a few. Okay.
But I read the books years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
And I have Lord of the Rings trilogy, I thought was excellent. The Hobbit, not so good. They made a mess of The Hobbit, I think.
Yeah, well, they dragged it out over three books when they managed to do all the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy over three films. Dragged it over three films. Harry Potter as well, you would have been a big fan of.
Yeah, I would have.
What do you think of Harry Potter then being remade as a series now? So this plan.
Listen, they did it with Star Wars as well, didn't they? They drag Marvel has been done to death. They're just dragging the arse out of it. Now, excuse me for saying a word like that on air, but, you know, they are. Sometimes you just have to let something be. When you've got money involved and there's figures involved and like kids
IP,
love it.
When you've got the IP.
And like and Disney buy all these, so many of the companies buy up the intellectual property rights for these.
Also, if you were 12 when Harry Potter, the first one came out, you're 40 now. So, I mean, people are aging out of it. They probably think, hold on, we need the next generation of consumers. We need to
suck them in. Unless they're like me.
Unless they're like you and they're an adult who reads children's books. But they realise there's not enough Elaine Crowleys in the world. That's what they realise.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, because, you know, I was looking at the list as well, The Wheel of Time. Now, I've never read The Wheel of Time. That's as well something else that's been made into a TV series. It's on Amazon Prime.
It's on with actually some really good Irish actors in that as well.
But Every Dead Thing by John Connolly.
Yeah. John Connolly is, I remember that we talked about it briefly before we came on air. I remember, he's a prolific writer, but he's Charlie Parker series, the first of which is Every Dead Thing. It's about, he is Irish, but it's set in the States. It's not set in Ireland at all, but it's about this very troubled detective and he's got sidekicks and all that sort of stuff. But it's not your usual killer or serial killer thing. It gets very supernatural and quite dark and scary and you don't know if he's going mad or is this sort of stuff actually happening. So I think for me, Every Dead Thing, to be introduced to that world, gripped me. It took maybe two or three books to really, like, get a sense of everything, but they got weirder as they got along.
Yeah, I found them tough now.
Yeah.
I didn't even finish it.
Really?
Yeah, and it wasn't that it was a bad book, because, so I love...
Did it disturb you?
Yeah, I just found it a bit too disturbing. And I loved, like, I love a dead body in chapter one, and I like kind of, you know, a book that tries to find it out, and it can
Jeffrey
be a little
Deaver
bit gruesome.
Jeffrey Deaver or Michael Connie or something. Yeah, more straightforward.
Exactly. Yeah. A nice straightforward murder. Yeah. And I just found this a little too dark, because the premise of it is his wife and child have been killed by the serial killer, and this is the story arc that's kind of in the background to all
kind
the
of
books.
Haunted by his daughter.
But not just killed by them, like as in muted, the bodies are mutilated and this kind of detail of what happened. And I just thought, oh, I'm not having that. Yeah. No way. I'm not going to sleep after reading that.
God, it says a lot about me, doesn't it?
Exactly.
In my mind work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I think four things like that, because the more I got working in news, like I was in news for 12 years, and you know, you're covering all these crime scenes and some horrific real life stories. So, like I found that anything that wasn't to do with real news or real life was just a lot more easy to deal with. And if it's something like supernatural, I'd always be more afraid of the living than the dead. So if it's something like that, it doesn't bother me really too much.
Somebody, Chris, has texted in and said, The Faraway Tree is the best book ever. It started my love of books. I'm 60 now and it's still my favourite. And I've just started The Knights of the Borrowed Dark as well.
Yay!
And it's looking good. Chris, you're 60 years old. That's a child's book you're reading.
It's not. Listen, you can, we all need a bit of escapism, particularly now.
Yeah.
We should throw a few.
I know. I'd look.
Throw a few additions.
We should judge nobody for what they read. So, Chris, fair play to you. Dan in Cork says, if she loves The Lord of the Rings, Elaine should read The Prince of Nothing trilogy by R.S. Baker. Exceptional prose and world building. Now, there's a recommendation for you, Elaine. The Prince of Nothing trilogy by R.S. Baker. What are you reading at the moment?
I've just finished Jitterbug Perfume.
What's Jitterbug Perfume?
It's a you're going to think
yeah, exactly.
It's bonkers. Yeah, exactly.
Go on.
It is a Tom Robbins novel. I think it was first published in the 1980s. Now, the same author who did Only Cowgirls Get the Blues and Half Asleep in Frog Pajamas, all these mad titles. It's basically about an ancient king who was supposed to be put to death by his people at the first sign of aging. So a perfume is invented that can keep him immortal. And it kind of goes between this ancient timeline and this guy who's immortal and the love of his life who he meets to modern day New Orleans. And this woman found the bottle and she's trying to recreate this perfume that causes immortality. And then in the middle of all that is the god Pan, who, because of conversion of the world to Christianity, Pan is disappearing. Sounds absolutely nuts, I know, but it's I think it's quite interesting about the nature of the afterlife. I think it gave me quite a nice insight that I read it first when I was in college. I think it was my second year in college. I was 18, and then I'd forgotten it until recently, and I found a copy online, and I bought it and I reread it again. So I said, I really like that. Love it.
Would you write a book?
I've tried a few times. But,
fantasy.
Yeah, but the old ADHD kicks in and the concentration isn't great. If I had time to hyper focus for like 3 weeks and get it done, I would. But trying to get that sort of time to do
so
it.
So you have a story, you have the bones of a story there, do you?
Yeah.
Is there a perfume from the ancient world that keeps people alive?
Perfume. I'm actually writing a screenplay as well at the moment. I have loads of little things going on.
Oh, God, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're busy. What's that about? Can you tell us how much...
It's about a trip to Peru by an elderly dad who lost his wife and ayahuasca and madness ensues with their undertaking business.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
Now,
that's interesting.
Now, there you go.
There.
And there's no fairies or dragons or anything in this one, unless you're hallucinating them, of course.
Have you ever done anything like that before?
Do you know what year? I think I was in secondary school. Just before my leaving, I wrote a short piece and I won some little award, an RTÉ award, and was on RTÉ Radio 1. And I wrote a short play maybe 7 years ago and did it in Smock Alley.
Okay.
But it was very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
So I was very terrified of doing it again.
And what's the process of writing a screenplay? How different is it? Is it?
Well, it's a great program now. But I think it's different because I did film and TV in college. So
yeah.
I've studied
grounding.
The bones, but I just haven't done it for quite a while. But it's just you sit down and you get your beginning, middle and end. That's what I do. Think the characters you want to. And I think with everybody, you do have to pluck out bits of real life. So if you're from the country where I am, as you know yourself, there's gas characters and you hear all these stories and drop it in there.
It's that great line about John B. Keane, isn't it? That he was the cutest carryman of all because he listened to the stories coming over the bar and then sold people their own stories back to them.
It's brilliant. And every day you hear some more and more bonkers news and stories from people.
So, but you know, if somebody is writing a book, which you might come back to the book if you get the focus, you know, you'll write it, you'll send it off to publishers, you'll or agents and hope it gets picked up. Is it the same process with a screenplay? Or do you kind of go into it with contacts already made?
No.
I guess what I'm asking is, how likely am I going to be to be watching this on the screen?
Well, I'd say very unlikely. But you never know, miracles happen. I think in the greater scheme of things, you can rule nothing out, and you try everything once.
So it's the same process. You get this done,
you
and
take
then
a punt,
you approach people afterwards and say, "I've done a screenplay. What do you think?"
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be kind of funny.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Go.
Well, listen, we'll have to talk again as it progresses, the project. Elaine Crowley, broadcast presenter of Ireland AM. So she's putting up, listen, lots of books mentioned there. Elaine Crowley's too cool, says one of our listeners. That's a nice message, isn't it? If you finish Lord of the Rings, 14-year-old me reckons the Silmarillion, is that what it's called? The
I
other
try
one?
I to read the Silmarillion.
That's
quite...
That's really for Tolkien nerds.
I struggled
Sorry
with
now.
That.
I said I wouldn't judge people on what they read, but that is for Tolkien nerds.
I have
nerds.
A copy of it at home still and I have tried. I just cannot make sense of it.
Best book I ever read was Every Dead Thing by John Connolly, says somebody else. So Knights of the Borrowed Dark, the series by Dave Rudden, pride of place up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Elaine, great to talk to you. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.